Hallelujah. What do you want me to do? Oh, God, we love you, Jesus. Father, we praise you, Lord Jesus. If we could open this part of the service up with prayer right now, Lord Jesus, we thank you. Once again, Lord Jesus, it's because of you that we live and move and have our being today. Lord, we are your workmanship. We are here, Lord Jesus, for your pleasure and at your pleasure, for your glory, Lord Jesus. We are here because you've allowed us the privilege and the honor of being in your house today, Lord Jesus, among your people today. Oh, we give glory and praise and honor to you, Jesus. We give you glory, we give you praise, and we give you honor, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let there be glory and honor and praises. Glory and honor to Jesus. Glory, honor, glory and honor to Him. Oh, let there be glory and honor to Jesus. Glory and honor to Jesus. Glory and honor, glory and honor to Him. For He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy name. Oh, He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy name. Let there be glory and honor and praises. Glory and honor to Jesus. Glory and honor. Glory and honor to Him. Let there be. Oh, let there be glory and honor and praises. Glory and honor to Jesus. Glory, honor, glory and honor to Him, for He has done great things. For He has, oh, we're not just singing a song, folks. This is true about the one that we serve. He has done, think about your own life. He's done great things in your life. Oh, He has done great things. Bless His holy name. Let there be glory and honor and praises. Glory and honor and praises. Glory and honor. Glory and honor to him. Let there be glory. Let there be glory and honor and praises. Glory and honor and praises. Glory. Honor, glory, and honor to him. Can we really give him the praise right now, Lord Jesus? We honor you. We worship you. In you we live and move and have our being. We are not our own, God. We are bought with a price of your blood. Lord, we owe it to you, God, to give you all the praise. I don't want a rock. I don't want some creature, Lord. I don't want a worm crying out in my name. I don't want my nothing crying out before me, God. I want you to know that I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, you just don't know how much he's kept you. We're riding down the interstate this morning. A guy on the other side just went right in the middle of the median, was spinning out in the middle of the median. I don't know if he fell asleep or what. I thought that poor guy or whoever it was, and I prayed for him. Then I thought, no, that could have been me. Amen. We just don't know sometimes how much and how greatly the Lord keeps us. We just don't know. You don't know what he's kept you from today. You don't know. And so it is incumbent upon us. He doesn't make us worship him, but it is incumbent upon you. If you trusted him to save you, if you've trusted him to bring you this far, it's incumbent upon you to want to worship him. I shouldn't have to pull it out of anybody in this room. Can we just worship him one more time? Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, we owe you everything. Lord, we owe it to you because of everything. Lord, without you, we wouldn't have breath in our body today to worship you. Without you, God, we wouldn't have a house to live in. Without you, God, we wouldn't have the things that we have. We wouldn't have the trials and the tests. Without you, God, we wouldn't have this great salvation being made available to us. Lord, we need you today. We need you right now in this place, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I heard one preacher say, he doesn't get any sweeter. We just get more submitted and more like him. That's how he gets sweeter in our life. When we, as John said, I must decrease that he might increase in my life. Amen. I want him to increase and me to decrease so that I'm hid with him. I'm behind him. When they look at me, that's all they see is Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. That's how this world is going to end up inside this building, this city. Amen. He's going to draw men to him. Amen. It's going to be the love of Jesus Christ shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Lord, help me to have that love shed abroad. Every time I walk out these doors, Lord, let it not be me. Let it be you that they see. Jesus' name. Reboot Recovery this Thursday, third session. Everything's going great. The group that's there is very open and willing to communicate and talk about their situation, which is a plus for the program, and so that's going great. Continue to support that. Check the list in the back. See what, if you've signed up for this week, make sure you're here. Make sure that you check with the pastor if any questions you have about that. This, it's just going to be an awesome thing when we get to the graduation in July. Amen. Men's camp registration and family camp registration opens on May 1st. Family camp registration deadline is June 1st. So we're already into May, 5 days. So you've got all of May to register for family camp if you want to go. And men's camp, I don't know when the cutoff on that is. Amen. But everybody say men's camp. Amen. Who's going to go? Amen. I encourage you to go. I encourage you to go. It's going to be a great time. Section 4 Unity Rally, May 18th from 1 to 3 at Christ the Rock Church in Stevens Point. Amen. Brother Walters is hosting that, so I encourage you to get involved in that if you can. Get up there from 1 to 3. It's a wonderful church building, great place. They're probably going to have some food. They've got a nice hall there for fellowship afterwards. So I encourage all that can go to get up there and meet some of the family, if you will. Amen. Hallelujah. Church picnic. Everybody say church picnic. May 26th. Going to be May 26th at the Black River Beach North Pavilion. If you don't know where that is, it's up by that Cooley Auto place right there on the right on the river there. We're going to be in the North Pavilion. That's going to start at 10 a.m. There's a sign-up sheet in the back for who would like to bring whatever. The church is going to provide the buns and the meat. And you just bring what you want to drink and whatever, and bring yourself and bring your joyful, wonderful attitude, and we're going to have games and fun, okay? Amen. We need that. Youth rally in Whitehall, May 31st, starting at 7:30. Want to let everybody know about that. And then finally, Mother's Memorial Offering is still due on June 2nd. If you feel like the Lord's leading you to give to Mother's Memorial to help these missionaries, amen. If it wasn't for a missionary, I wouldn't be standing here talking to you. And if it wasn't for that missionary having that Sheaves for Christ van and all those things that come out of Mother's Memorial and Sheaves for, you know, and all that, just I wouldn't be here. So we need to support those things if we can. Amen. Well, how great is our God? How great is His name? Oh, He's the greatest one. He's forever the same. Oh, when He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, then He said, I want to lead you. So put your trust in me. He wants to lead us, church. Well, how great is our God? Oh, He's great. How great is His name? His name's above every name. He's the greatest one. He's the only one. He's forever the same. Oh, when He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, then He said, I want to lead you, so put your trust in me. Let's put our trust in Him. How great is our God? How great is His name? He's the greatest one. He's forever the same. Oh, when He rolled back the water of the mighty Red Sea, then He said, I want to lead you. So put your trust in me. One more time. Oh, how great is our God? How great is His name? He's the greatest one. He's forever the same. When He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I want to lead you, so put your trust in me. If He's done anything in your life, we need to worship Him right now. If He's allowed you to be healed, if He's brought a miracle in your life, if He's given you the miracle of the Holy Ghost, you need to thank God that He allowed you to take on His name in water baptism. We need to honor Him and worship Him today. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for everything. Thank you for everything. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. You know, some almost 40 years ago, I fell in love with that lady in the back. And that wasn't a one-time event. I'll have you know that. And any of you men in here know what I'm talking about. I'm still falling in love with her today, just like I did 40 years ago. And it just keeps getting gooder and gooder. Amen, brethren and sister. Hallelujah. So our falling in love with Jesus needs to be the same. Not like my one pastor in Louisville who said, I told my wife when I married her I loved her, and I told her if I changed my mind, I'd tell her. That's not how it is. Amen. I love you today, Jesus, and he loves me today more than he did yesterday. And I need to love him today more today than I did yesterday and twice as much tomorrow, right? Amen. Don't ever stop falling in love with the Creator, the one who saved you. Oh, hallelujah. Well, falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. In his arms I feel protected. In his arms never disconnected. In his arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Falling in love. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. In his arms I feel protected. In his arms never disconnected. In his arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Let's sing that chorus again.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, it's the best thing I've ever done. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. I love you, thou most high God, but only because you first loved me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I am so thankful for the love of God which is set abroad in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you loved me enough to suffer on a cross and die for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price of my sins. Thank you, Jesus, that you came and you wrapped yourself in flesh for the sole purpose of dying for me. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. What a powerful, powerful love. wherewith he loves us. He loves you, church. He loves you so desperately. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The love of God is something we can't ever take for granted. Please don't do it. It's always going to be there. It's unconditional. It's agape. But please don't ever take it for granted. I am so thankful that God loves me. You know, love will cause you to act in ways and respond in ways that people who are indifferent toward you would never understand. The opposite of love, of course, isn't hatred. It's indifference. I just don't care. I don't care what happens to you. Live or die, I couldn't care less. That's the opposite of love. Not hate. To hate something, I've got to feel something toward it. People that hate God, they're not indifferent. But God loves us. God loves us. Amen. Just real quick, I want to welcome Maggie and Evan here. Amen. So good to see you guys. They've been going to church in Albert Lea. Is that still awesome? The Shetlers are there pastoring, and they're great, great, great people. Amen. I'm so happy for you guys. Amen. Our scripture text today will be found in the book of Revelation chapter 20, starting with verse 11. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. Bible states this. This is John the Revelator speaking or writing. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Lord Jesus, we worship you. Help us to receive that which you have given unto me. I pray, Lord Jesus, that it would be with power and with anointing, not as a man speaks, but as you speak. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus, to receive it, I pray. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Probably going to be doing that a lot during this message. A lot of my messages are the result of study. I pray and God gives me a topic or a verse, and I'm able to build something on that with the help of the Lord. This particular one is kind of unique. It's happened before, but rarely. I just got verses one after another. I didn't look anything up. God gave me this message. I don't know why, but I'm going to do my best to deliver it. It's not something I would have chosen myself. There was a time in my life where I wasn't always the most obedient person in the world. In my early adulthood, teenage years, I was outwardly obedient, but inwardly rebellious. I remember one time in the Army, I had fallen asleep during guard duty. And those of you you that have served know that that's not a good thing. And when we all got up, blame had to be assigned. Who fell asleep? Well, it wasn't me. I woke the guy up, I told him. He must have fallen asleep. Lied through my teeth. This was before Christ. Christians shouldn't lie. Well, through some pointed questions, my deception was uncovered. And then I started with the excuses. I'm not feeling well. I was really tired. I hurt myself. Anything that would come to mind that would help mitigate the punishment I was about to receive. And I threw them all out there, but the punishment was exactly the same. He wasn't buying any of it, my section chief. He made me dig in the howitzer the next night. This was a big howitzer. I had to dig it in, and then I had to fill it in after I got it all dug in. And that took the better part of half the night. Thought I was tired the night before. I was tired the next day. The point I'm trying to make is I failed. Whether it was on purpose, it was an accident, I failed. I lied about it. I tried to get out of it. I tried to offer reasons and excuses. Nothing worked. I was still punished because of it. And it was found out exactly what I had done. Exactly what I had done. There are two kinds of judgment that the Lord metes out. The first judgment was at Calvary, where Jesus himself, God wrapped in flesh, stood between the judgment of God and you and me. He absorbed all of it. He wasn't just hanging on a cross, and that was horrible and terrible in and of itself. But he was receiving punishment from God. He was receiving the judgment of our sins on that cross. The Bible says that he became sin for us who knew no sin. Because all of that sin was heaped on him, God separated himself from the man Christ Jesus. That caused him to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It wasn't because he was hanging on a cross that he felt forsaken. It was because all of our sin was now placed on him. And a holy God will not dwell where sin is. God's view of sin is way different than ours. If we look at this from God's perspective, and we look at it from our perspective, we see two entirely different views. Our perspective is there are levels of sin. The little white lie, the mass murder, and then various stages in between, perhaps. However you want to classify things. We certainly wouldn't classify the little white lie as being equal to breaking into someone's house and raping and killing their entire family. We just wouldn't. The law doesn't classify them the same. But God does. God most certainly does. And that seems crazy to us. Why would he do that? How could that be the same? I'll tell you how it could be the same. Because God is perfect. And you and I, we can't understand that. We can't understand that. And anything that moves someone from perfection is enough. You're either perfect or you're not. You're Christ-like or you're not. You're sinless or you have sin. One sin will do. That's all it requires. That's why only Jesus Christ could make a good sacrifice for our sin. He's the only one that lived sinlessly. I can't take care of your sin because I can't even take care of mine. The debt is too high. Now love, we talked about love. Two things were demonstrated on the cross. God's love for us and God's hatred for sin. Those two things were demonstrated. Jesus volunteering, choosing to hang on that cross, receiving the judgment of God, and God pouring out his wrath on sin. We got to understand both of these things, folks, about God. I love preaching about the love of God. I love talking about the mercy of God and the goodness of God. I love talking about that. I'm so desperately and so daily in need of it. I'm so thankful God loves me unconditionally. I'm so thankful his mercies are renewed unto me every morning. I'm thankful he loved me enough to hang on a cross to die for me. But I got to understand why he had to do that. It's because I sinned. I rebelled against a holy and a righteous God. And there is only one. There's two avenues for me at that point. I can allow God to pay the price for that sin, or I can try to pay for it myself. You can't. Those are the only two options here. Jesus hung on the cross to give us a second option. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why he came to earth. All through Scripture, we see this thread woven all throughout Old Testament Scripture. This idea of requiring a blood sacrifice. Genesis chapter 3, God is slaying an animal. The fig leaves weren't enough. Plants can't die, not in a scriptural sense. They don't have the breath of life. The Bible talks about them withering and fading, but never dying. It takes the blood of, at that time, the blood of goats and bullocks. It requires the shedding of blood to remit sin. That was the price. Death is the price for sin. That's why I have a problem with evolution. You can't have death before sin, because death is the consequence of sin. One of many reasons. Anyway. Death is the consequence of sin. It's the price of sin. Something, someone has to die. And we got to understand how God views sin, folks. He hates it. He hates it with a holy hatred. Just as powerfully as he loves you and me. I've said many times that the reason he hates sin is because of what it does to us. That's not entirely true. That's not the whole story anyway. He does hate sin because of what it does to us, the apple of his eye. But he also hates sin because it's an affront to his character. It's an affront to a holy God. When I rebel against him, I have offended a holy God. And I need to be expected to pay for it. When I break the law and the cops pull me over or come to my door, I expect I'm going to pay the consequences for this. Now, some people get away with it here in the secular. I understand the analogy breaks apart here. Justice isn't always served down here. But justice will always be served in Jesus Christ. He will balance every book. He is going to make everything right. And if I have unanswered sin in my life, it will be answered for someday. Someday. Everything is going to be answered. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." God's wrath will be poured out on unrighteousness and ungodliness. This loving God, this merciful God, will not be merciful forever. We read in Genesis about the ark. That was the plan of salvation for Noah and his generation. Just get in the ark. It's all you need to do. People wouldn't. Well, God shut the door. And it started to rain. Judgment started to fall. And now people want in the ark. But now it's too late. It's too late because the door is now shut. And we got to understand, we don't have forever. We don't have forever, folks. Someday this door is going to be shut too. The door to the church is going to be shut. God's going to come and take us, and it's done. There'll be no more chances. And when we stand before this great white throne, there'll be no self-deception. There'll be no offering reasons. Well, I was tired, Sarge. I injured myself. I have good reasons why I couldn't serve you. All of those are going to fall away, and you're going to realize there's going to be a full realization in your mind that you're done. I have no hope. I have no reasons. I have no excuses to offer. All I can do is sit here and accept the judgment that's given. That's all people are going to be able to do on that day. But not today. Today there's still hope. Today there's still a chance. The door is still open. I don't have to pay for the sins myself. I can let Jesus pay those sins for me. 2 Thessalonians 2:7-12 states, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." There's all kinds of stuff in this passage of Scripture, but just a couple of points. They received not the love of the truth. Now, I heard a sermon on this. Again, Jeff Arnold, he pointed something out. A lot of people read this and say, I need to love the truth. That's not what this is saying. It's saying that the truth loved them, and they wouldn't receive that love. They wouldn't receive the love of the truth. Because of that, God sends them a strong delusion. When God sends a delusion, folks, you're done. When God's fighting against you, what hope do you have? Revelation 6:12-17 states, I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" On that day, God's wrath is going to be poured out on sin, because it wasn't poured out that day on Calvary. If you didn't accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary, if you didn't let him pay for your sins himself, then you're going to pay. That's the second and only other option. And his wrath will be poured out on sin and on unrighteousness. Again, the cross demonstrates to all the world those two things: the great love God has for all humanity, and God's great hatred of sin, and the withering price that is attached to it. The withering price. Death. Death is the price of sin. Yeah, but my neighbor, so-and-so, such-and-such, he's a nice guy. He's a really good guy. I'm not going to argue with that. A lot of great people in the world. A lot of good people. But that's not what God says is necessary for salvation. I'm not saved because I'm a good guy. I'm not saved because I pay my taxes and love my spouse and my children. I'm not saved because I make it to work on time. I keep my job because I make it to work on time. But I'm not saved. That's not God's plan of salvation. I, Jesus said, am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It doesn't matter what I do or don't do. If I haven't incorporated Christ's death, burial, and resurrection into my life by obedience to the gospel, I'm not saved. God has not paid for my sins. They're still mine to pay. Judgment is applied to all people. To those who are saved at Calvary. To those who aren't at the great white throne. 1 Corinthians 10:12, a warning to us. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. One thing I want us to understand tonight is God's judgment is just as real as God's love. It's just a part of who he is the love of God. And no one is predestinated to make it to heaven. Even if you're saved today, you can lose out tomorrow. Many have. Romans 11, 17 through 22 speaks of this. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Amen. And again, the choice is really ours, like it always is. I can receive the gospel and obey it, thereby allowing the sacrifice of Jesus at Calvary to cover my sins. My sins are now paid. I don't have to pay them anymore. I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. But after that, if I sin again, I forgive you. God's mercy be upon you, my son. If I sin, I can bring it to God. I can repent. God will forgive me. And I can continue walking with God. I can continue being his child, still being in covenant relationship with him. If I don't obey the gospel, and I just try to live like a good person, I believe in God. A lot of people believe in God. I read the Bible. A lot of people read the Bible. I just don't do all of it. Are those people going to heaven? People get asked this all the time. Well, I don't believe exactly like you do. Do you think I'm going to hell? I don't know where you're going, dude. I can tell you the two options. If you obey the gospel, you go here. If you don't, you go there. That's what the scriptures teach us. I don't know where you're going. I know where I'm going. That's the only person I know. But those are the only two options. If I don't follow the one, the default is the other. There's no reincarnation. There's no do-overs. There's no second, third, fourth, fifth chance. There's no third option here. There's no purgatory. I can work off my sin. This is it. This is it. And to us who are saved, a not so gentle reminder this morning that salvation, Jesus talks about two gates, two paths, the straight gate and the narrow way is salvation, and few there be that find it. Not everybody's going to heaven. It's God's perfect will that everybody go to heaven. God suffered on a cross and died for all humanity at all times and all places. The opportunity is present for everyone. But he's not going to force you to go. You've got to make a choice. You've got to say yes to God. We don't have the authority to pass judgment on others. Romans chapter 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, old man, whoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? You and I will not get out of judgment ourselves because we can find someone who's doing things worse than us. Yeah, but God, he did it more than I did. And I'll take care of him too. But he's going to take care of me as well. Degrees of sin don't exist in the mind of God. You have sinned or you haven't sinned. Which one? Me? I have sinned. So I need a Savior. Only God is the judge. Psalm 96, 12 through 13 says, let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Acts 10:42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, the living and the dead. 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. 1 Peter 4:5, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Psalm 9:8, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Hebrews 10:30-31 says, We know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I am afraid for our culture because that fear is largely removed. That fear, that reverence, that respect, that fear of doing wrong. Even in my generation, I was afraid to do wrong. Not that I didn't have the capacity. If I thought I could get away with it, I probably would have. But I didn't think I could get away with it. Dad's coming with a belt. Dad's coming with that slab of meat he calls a hand. And that hurts. I don't want that. So I'm going to do right. That fear is gone in our society. That respect for authority, it's gone. And we who are saved are to warn others of the coming judgment. Acts 20:31 says, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Don't cease to emphasize the love of God. Don't cease to emphasize the mercy of God. But just understand, not all good people are saved. Not all good people are going to heaven. I wish that weren't the case. I wish everybody was going to heaven. God wants everybody to go to heaven. But we've got to make the choice. That's the price of free moral agency. That's the price of having free will. I'm not a robot. He presents me with the information and I make a choice. Yes or no. As does every man and woman that's ever lived. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." It's another choice to make. What nature do we strengthen? What nature do we feed? In any case, don't think you're hiding anything from God. And again, folks, I don't know who I'm speaking to here. If it applies, use it. If it doesn't, pray for someone who it does apply to. Shovel it back. God is not deceived. He's not mocked. He knows what's going on in our lives. He knows what I do. He knows what I think. He knows the secret recesses of my heart. And if I am afraid to show that stuff to God, then folks, I need to repent. I need to get right with God. Acts 17:30 says, "The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." The door is still open. Salvation is still possible. All of the reasons, those, as I like to refer to them, as intellectual fortresses that people erect against the knowledge of God so that they can remain willfully ignorant, they will come crumbling down one day. Some people may look at me like I'm a fool, like I'm ignorant, like I'm whatever, because I believe in God and I believe that the judgment of God is coming on all humanity, those that haven't made themselves right with God. But it's coming anyway. There'll be no "I told you so." There'll be no "ha, see, I'm right." That's not it at all. Because to be perfectly frank, at that time, I'm entered into my reward. I'm done with all this. My tears are gone. Sickness is gone. It's only joy. It's only peace. And those, my loved ones, those, my friends, who decided to go another way, if I even know it, the only thing I'm going to think is, God has judged righteously. He has judged righteously. Today there's a second option. We can get right with God today. Today is the day of salvation. Now, I know many of us have incorporated the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection into our lives. Many of us do walk in a covenant relationship with God. But if that relationship is shaky, or if you think there's something there that needs to be addressed, because it will be addressed. One day it will be addressed. Address it today. Get into the presence of God here, now, and address that thing. you need the Holy Ghost, God wants to give you the Holy Ghost today. If you need to be right with God, God wants you right with Him so desperately. He wants a relationship with you. He wants that today. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's come to the altar, those that will. Let's enter into a place with God and enter into a place of prayer with Him. When we consider the great love that God has for us, the blessings that we so regularly enjoy serving Him, and it's just a crazy amount of blessing that I receive of God, that you receive of God, just because we serve Him. It's easy for us to take some of this stuff for granted. And we need to understand, judgment's coming for us. If I'm hiding anything or think I'm hiding anything, I'm not. God is not mocked. He is not deceived. And also, the lives of those around me, those that I love, those that I have relationships with, those that I work with, God's coming for them too, either for salvation or for judgment. I pray that He comes to them for salvation. Lord Jesus, we come to You now. We come to You now, Lord Jesus. Understanding afresh, understanding anew how desperately You love us, but also how desperately You hate sin. And the desperate price that You have attached to it. I pray, O God, help us to walk forward from this place with an understanding that we need to abhor sin in our lives. We can't play with it. We can't toy around with it. It's not for us to touch. It is forbidden fruit unto us. We can't handle it. We're not strong enough. Help us, Lord, to flee it. Help us to run from it. Protect us from it, I pray. I pray. Give us victory over these things in our lives. As we confess these areas to You, as we confess these secret sins, these secret faults to You, Lord Jesus, wash us clean, put it under the blood of Jesus Christ, and give us victory, I pray. Help us to live and to walk in the victory that You have purchased for us, in Jesus' name. And I pray, O God, that when we rise from this place, when we rise from this altar, this place of prayer, that we would be right with You. That Your righteousness, Your holiness would be applied afresh to our lives. Hallelujah, Jesus. We pray for our loved ones. We pray for our family members, those at work, perhaps a spouse, children, parents. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that You would help us to reach them with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know the malaise that has settled upon our society. I know the lethargy and the apathy of things spiritual that has settled into the hearts and minds of those in the United States today. I understand it, but Lord Jesus, You're not intimidated by that. You're not threatened by it. You're not stymied by it. You know the way through. And I pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that You would get through that lethargy and that apathy. Get through those intellectual fortresses that people have erected against the knowledge of God. And I pray in Jesus' name that You would give them the revelation of truth. That You would reveal to them their present state. That You would stir them. That You would shake them. That You would get their attention. I pray, Lord, use any means necessary to get their attention and to save their souls. To lead them to a place of repentance while there is yet time. While the door is still open. I pray, O God, help us to warn those day and night with tears. Help us to warn them regularly. Help us, Lord Jesus, to make sure, absolutely sure, that all men everywhere understand their options, that they understand their choices, that when they stand before You, they don't stand before You ignorant. They stand before you informed. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would help us to serve you in verity and in truth. Help us, Lord Jesus, to serve you. Give us a passion and a fervency and a zeal for you. Help us to commit ourselves wholly and completely unto you, to sacrifice when asked, to sacrifice if necessary, to move forward in you, to move forward in your plan and in your service, to move your kingdom forward. Hallelujah. It is for this very cause that we have been placed here. It is for this very purpose that you have placed us here in this time and in this city. Hallelujah. Help us to be about our Father's business, I pray, I pray, I pray. Help us to take our Father's business very seriously. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Help us to live and to walk in the Spirit and fulfill not the lust of the flesh. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to strengthen our spiritual nature. Help us to feed the things of the Spirit, to starve our old nature. I pray in Jesus' name for those within the sound of my voice. Let the hand of the Lord be upon them, I pray. A blessing upon them.